Richard's too humble to say, but we had an incredible outreach cafe yesterday. It was great to be able to team up. It's National Breastfeeding Week. I feel like I should know a little bit more about what that means, but I think it speaks for itself. And we've got a really good and growing relationship with the midwives that come. We're one of the few breastfeeding cafes that actually have midwives that come. And there are some great opportunities as the children's centres are closed down to really build more and more relationships with them. And it's really interesting to see how that is unfolding. And the weather was perfect because it was bright enough and warm enough to bring people out. And when it rained, they only had one place to go. Yeah. I mean, I came in, we got there a bit later, and it was heaving. And then, you know, so not only had we got the breastfeeding week thingy going on, we ran a spirit cafe at the same time. Now, think about it. When other churches run a spirit cafe, they run it for the purposes of a spirit cafe. And people who come, I'm booming just a little bit. Is it because I'm far forward? When people come, they're coming to a spirit cafe. They know what they're turning up. We've done something different at the moment. It's like, hey, there's a cafe here, come and have a free drink. And oh, by the way, so people aren't thinking that they're coming to anything more. So anybody who decides, yeah, okay, I'll come and I'll meet with God. Of course, those it's not the language we use out there, but it's the language we're comfortable with in here. This is just incredible. And there were a dozen or more. We actually needed more on the team. You know, there were 40-odd people that went through the training. So just to encourage you, I know the times and things may not always work, but we actually needed more people. And one testimony I heard was somebody who visits mediums a lot, yeah, or goes to have the spiritual reading where it isn't God, yeah, and really came in and really felt they'd heard some accurate stuff, of course. Why are we surprised? So that was a really, really good day yesterday. Richard, thank you to you and the team for putting that on. It was good. Amen? Right. I don't know why I'm kind of doing this at the moment. I'm going to read some scripture out. Can we stand for the reading of the word? Is that all right? After all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants from whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your hearts and Apollos watered it. But it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers and you are God's field. You are God's building. Because of God's grace to me, I've laid this foundation like an expert builder. Now, others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we have already laid, Jesus Christ. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we have already laid, Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through the walls of flames. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple, for God's temple is holy and you are that temple. Stop deceiving yourselves if you think you are wise by the world's standards. You need to become a fool to be truly wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. As the scriptures say, he traps the wise in the snare of their own cleverness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise. He knows they are worthless. So don't boast about following a particular human leader. So don't boast about following a particular human leader. For everything belongs to you, whether a Paul or Apollos or Peter, or the world or life and death, or the present and the future. Everything belongs to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to you. God bless the reading of his word. You can sit down. We got my first slide on. Just pop that title slide on, please. So, I've been doing a series, Christianity Looks Like. And down to preach for a while this week and next week. And this morning, I decided, under the same theme, to do something completely different. So I wrote this morning. In the early hours of Friday the 24th of June, an historic outcome was given. The majority of the British people who choose to vote voted for the UK to leave the European Union. It was unexpected, but what happened next seemed to be even more unexpected. As the British people woke up and as many turned to social media, there was a huge backlash of swathes of people vented their feelings. There was anger, words like racist, xenophobic, bigots were being used. It was unprecedented. For those of you who have not been introduced to the phenomenon that is social media, then I would suggest you have been blessed. Because it was at all being poorly used on Friday morning. It is an incredible tool, I have you know. There were people who were scared, confused, devastated. These were the words I read. There were people who mourned over unknown friendships and relationships that they would now never have because of how difficult it would be to go and live in other parts of the world. There were parents scared for the future, security and prosperity of their children. Many were Christians, many were not. The news reporting didn't help either, and those first few hours, as experts talked of their shock and produced further predictions that the future was well and truly bleak for the United Kingdom, it would seem that things were going to get worse and worse. And then the pound slumped, which gave more fuel to hystericalness and panic. Comments such as, "What have we done? What hope is there for us?" now littered social media. What hope? What hope? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Amen? We have every hope, not just in the events of this week, but in all things. Our hope for the future is not based on a political outcome, is not based on how I can control my future, is not based on how I can look after my affairs. If that is the case, then our hope is in a political system. Our hope is in our ability to control our own future. Our hope is in how much money I can get hold of. No, no, no. This is not our hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. I'm going to get ahead of myself. The Alpha and the Omega. These are not meant to be political statements this morning. You choose how to receive them. But this is a reminder of who we are and who we know. This is a reminder of that actually God controls all things, and I am never safer than in his hands. I have no fear and no concern for my future or the future of my children, because it is not based on external secular stuff. It is based, my life is based on Jesus. And this is where, isn't it? Because we nod so often about these statements. We nod so often about these things. This is where with so many of the country involved, where we can actually put our money where our mouth is. And we can declare, I don't know what tomorrow will bring. Did we ever? Did we ever? I mean, I'm sure the Bible, this is this morning, okay? So, you know, if it's a bit thin on some scriptural stuff, and if there's a lot of the Bible says somewhere, but somewhere I think it talks about the foolishness of trying to say, well, this is what I'll do next week, next year, you know? As if we ever knew what would happen tomorrow. Jesus Christ in the small things, Jesus Christ in the big things, Jesus Christ as I rise, Jesus Christ as I lay my head to sleep. Jesus Christ, the Alpha and Omega, Jesus Christ, the beginning and the end. Jesus, didn't we just sing it, Lord of all? Well, now we have an opportunity in an uncertain, turbulent time when things seem to be toppling, when coups and political arguments are at their height, to show our anchor weathers the storm. Our anchor weathers the storm. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't be wondering. It doesn't mean that we ignore, my goodness, but I am concerned. Wonderful. What a great opportunity to say, despite that, I stand firm in who I am in Jesus, and he's in his unshakable, infallible, oh man, I'm opening myself up this morning, word of God that says he governs my life. You know, he calls you sons. For those that have chosen to follow him, he calls you sons of God. Sons. He says, I won't leave you as orphans. I won't leave you astray. But Christianity looks like following his word, what he is saying in our lives. So when the waves of uncertainty come, when the sea of circumstance feels like it is about to crash in on me, when I genuinely feel concerned, scared, unsure, where do I turn? It is not Facebook to see and find those who think and feel like me. That is not the place I should go. I turn to the Lord. I turn to my knees, his word, his people, his church. Then I find people who think the same on Facebook. Oh Lord, what is going on? I thought the outcome would be different. I thought I'd get that job. I thought I'd sell my house. I thought she'd say yes. Where, oh where do I go now? The Lord is where you go. Jesus Christ, Father, God, Holy Spirit, the risen one, the Holy Son, the anchor of our faith. Whenever we're uncertain, he is the only place. There is nowhere else to turn. And he expresses himself through the body of his church, through wise counselors, through his infallible word of God. He expresses himself through the songs we sing, through the deep, small voices we give him space. He does not leave us orphans, wandering aimlessly in the wind, in the storm. You know, just as I was on the stage, and again, I wish I'd spent more time, but this morning just, well, there you go. But Jesus, isn't he? He's in the boat with his disciples. You see, we've got an opportunity to respond differently to the 12 who transformed this world. So, you know, these were pretty good guys. Yeah. And they're in the boat, and the storm is there, and the waves are there, and they're freaking out. I wish I'd got the scripture to read it. I could pull some points. And they're freaking out as if the creation would swallow the creator. They forgot who they were. They forgot what Jesus had just done. I think he just fed the 5,000. They'd forgot. And they panicked. At least they turned to Jesus. Yeah. Wake up! Wake up! You know? All they got is the physical Lord in his limited state. We have got the risen Lord who's left the helper. Lord, what's going on? God calms the storm. God calms the storm. Oh Lord, what is going on? I've done that bit. I thought the outcome would be different. If you have been worried, nervous and scared, well, be so no more. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Jesus. In his Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, he would have told you. Jesus goes to prepare a place for us. And if he goes and prepares a place for us, he will come again and receive us to himself. That where he is, there we may be also. For Jesus is the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty and Amen. So this is what Christianity looks like in an uncertain world. This is it. Christianity looks like Jesus Christ. It is the knowledge that however God chooses to show it, he will not leave me, he will not forsake me, he will guide my steps, he will provide, he will not see me begging bread. He will steer this ship, and even when it feels like it's going in the wrong direction, as I stay in Jesus, just as Jesus is in the Father, then Jesus will stay in me as the Father is in him, and I will have nothing to fear. And it's that way round. It's not about a rule. It's not about something that you have to attend to. But as we remain in him, these things come into play. But as we put ourselves outside of him and look back and expect to enjoy his covering and protection, it just doesn't work like that. The reason why sometimes the analogies of buildings and homes are used is because, you know, that's how Paul's trying to express it. The reason why he's called Father and he talks about sons is because that's how he's trying to express the relationship. We can place ourselves outside of God and then wonder why life isn't working. Christianity looks like something. It shows up in how we walk and how we talk. And there's an enigma where we don't deny what's going on. We don't deny when we're worried about things, our future. And this is so bigger than the EU. This is whatever you were concerned about last week, last month, last year. It's what you might be concerned about next year. We can't deny those, but somehow when we're driven into God, it's all right. We've talked about these things time again when we've nodded. Where sometimes what God does is he doesn't remove the circumstance, but somehow he lifts it above us so it does not affect us in the way it should. Christianity looks like, in a genuine world and Britain that may well be up and confused and wondering what next, even though that we're in it, we can say we have peace. We can say we're calm. We can bring a voice of reason. In your own circumstances, at work, at home. My goodness, how much work won't get done on Monday? As people will want to be talking and fixing and giving their political views. What voice will you have as a Christian, knowing that God orders our steps? Even when it doesn't feel like it, God orders our steps. It does not mean that there aren't difficult times in my life. My health, loss of family, my future financial security does not necessarily mean I avoid these. Although the whole nature of God removing obstacles on my behalf often means we will never know we were headed for them. And what kind of a God would we have who always points out the calamity he's just saved us from just so we can give him the glory? Did you get that? Yeah. How do we know what we missed? How do we know what God is protecting us for? You know, and again, think about what we talked about last time I spoke, that society says everything should be cozy. Everything should feel good. So the minute something feels tough, we react. We don't need to react. God's protection isn't about never going through difficult times. My goodness, read your Bible. What's that scripture that you love, Richard? We're hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. There are times when we are hard pressed. We don't ignore it. I've used it loads of times. I come in doubled up and somebody says, you've got a bad back. No, I haven't. You've got a bad back. Don't talk negative. I've got a bad back. But don't let it define me. No, it does not mean everything will be fine. But it means I don't have to be shaken. Oh my goodness, Ben, but I was shaken this morning. That's okay. I was shaken Friday morning. That's okay. Get your Bible out. Yeah, get your Bible out. Put that favourite track on that causes you to engage with God. You know, there's nothing overly special about that track, but you just like it and it allows you to hear God. Put it on. Sit. Say, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. I remember praying for someone. I think this person has shared it from the front, but I'm not sure, so I'll keep it anonymous. And we decided to pray. They were going through a tough time in their job, and there was every possibility that they would lose it. Every possibility they would lose it. And they'd been in the job for a number of years, and they'd had prophecies that this was the right job, and it was all good. And we came together one morning to pray, and I said, how do you want us to pray? We can pray, God, keep my job. And that is a valid, right prayer. With the words and the prophecies, or we can pray, God, thank you, you're my provider. Well, that seems, God said, wait. God being our provider doesn't mean you won't lose your job. How do you want to pray? And there was a moment as the significance of what we were about to do just sank in. And we prayed, God, thank you, you provide for us. The trouble is, we then want to dictate what that provision looks like. Lord, it looks like my car, my house, my bank balance, my friends, my social life, my gadgets. It looks like nothing changing. That's the problem when we come down and we dictate to God what his good graces needs to look like. No, it doesn't mean everything will be fine, but it means I will not be shaken. I will not falter, I will not fall, because Christ is the Saviour of my life. And he promises he will provide for me. Here we go again, but I'll say it anyway. But I will not dictate to God what his provision looks like. My house, my car, my job, my money in my bank, all these things must not change, Lord, if you were to provide for me. No, that is not how it works. But a simple, steadfast trust in God. Yes, for those of you who have chosen to follow Christ, someone you may never have seen, are unsure if you've actually ever heard him speak, it is in the simplicity of this statement, follow me. And it's when the disciples got up and followed him and people around said, so where are you going? He didn't say. How long are you going for? We don't know. Well, what will you be doing? Well, whatever he does. In a world that needs certainties, God's command is simple. Follow me. These words do not change for those who voted leave. If the next few weeks and months the government decides not to carry through the outcome of the 23rd, or if the general election is sparked and the winning party has a different intention of what happens, the words remain the same. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is our anchor. He is our steadfastness. He is our sure thing. Jesus. The words do not change, yes. But these words are far bigger than the outcome of a referendum. Those words carry truth in your life for all time. Every outcome that does not go the way you expect it, for every twist and turn that life seems to throw at you, the answer is the same. Jesus Christ and his sovereign authority over my life. It will be all right in the end. And if it's not all right, then it's not the end. The problem is in how we measure what is all right. I sat 18 months ago with Joan Simpkins, well into her 90s, losing her sight in a reduced quality of life, and she basically said this. She didn't use these words, but I found the scripture of what she meant. For I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. in a world that tells you you can't be content until you buy this thing. You can't be content until you have this thing, go these places, see these sights. It's a lie. Don't get me wrong. I love my stuff. I love my stuff. I enjoy it. But it's not my savior. It's not my direction. It does not define me. Christ does. For I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. God, our provider. Christianity looks like this. Yes, the future is uncertain. Yes, tomorrow is unclear. I see and feel all of those things, but for me, I'm at peace. For me, I am calm, for I walk with the Lord, and he will guide my steps. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises provide true. He is a shield for all who look to him for protection. Bill Johnson said this statement that really rocked me. He said, the world only has a voice when the church is silent. And I think we have an incredible opportunity set before us to demonstrate to our friends, to demonstrate to our work colleagues, to demonstrate as a church, capital C, to the world where our hope lies. I think the opportunities set before us are endless because the world is so confused. Great Britain, at least, is so confused. Even Europe now are panicking. Yet we weather the storm. God, let your church be the anchor that weathers the storm for Great Britain. Father, may we really have a voice. You know, for that to happen, we've got to drive deeper into unity. Do you know that? Do you know, unity is so powerful, is so strong, is unstoppable, that outside of God, God had to come in and confuse languages, set nations and create borders. That's interesting, isn't it? When unity outside of God is so powerful, is there nothing man can't do? Unity in the church is not finding the lowest common denominator and moving forward from there. I still don't really know what it looks like. I just know it isn't that. And when we as a church rise up in unity, perhaps driving towards a big yes, what we believe in as opposed to away from a no and what we don't, it's the same direction, but the heart is completely different. You know, can you put my next slide up? Oh, just flick through it for me. I didn't realize this. Keep going. A couple more. You know, we have been put on this earth as God's ambassadors. That we are here representing him. And I believe that we're the chosen function to declare the good news on this earth. Don't think of buildings and structures and formats. It's not that. The church, the people, God has given us that. And we're here to transform life, to transform society. What an incredible opportunity we have today in our nation. I believe God is calling the church to respond. I do not believe that this is a new call, but this referendum could be the catalyst for the church to rise up, stand up, and with one voice declare sovereignty of Jesus in our lives. How does it start? It starts with you. It starts with me. It starts with a driving to your knees. It starts with a time with you and God when you seek his peace, his stillness, his calm. It has to start there. It has to start with an encounter with him. It has to start with God transforming my life. Because we can rush and start to transform our community, to transform our relationships. But if it's not based on the foundation of Jesus Christ, it's wood, clay, and straw. And you know, the people that we transform are hugely benefited. I mean, gosh, if we do good for the nation, man, are they benefited hugely. But it's got to be out of a transformed life where Christ is the foundation. We went back a couple of times ago, I spoke and we talked about what Jesus did on the cross. We talked about that because of that, our walk looks like something. It looks like a transformed life. And we've got to drive in. We've got to start from my transformed life in Jesus Christ. And God transforms my circumstances. They don't go away, but the hold they have over me changes because of what he has done. It has to start there. It has to start with an encounter with him, but it cannot stay there. An encounter is like the sweetest icing on top of your favorite cake. Wonderful to eat, but it ain't going to sustain you. Now it moves on and it starts to how you talk, how you walk, and how you live your life. It starts with truly living above circumstances, not denying that there are there, not pretending that you do not have them, but by declaring my life is not in the hands of these things, but the Lord's. And I do not know how he is going to do it, whether he's going to change my circumstances or my heart towards my circumstances. But I know that I know he will not leave me and he will always guide me. It starts with your voice that changes an atmosphere in a situation, that brings hope, that shines the sun into the room. It starts with talking, with taking your God-filled, word-filled life into the situations of life out there. On a church level, it calls for unity, but this unity needs to be worked on. It is not finding the lowest common denominator where we can all agree and move forward from. For me, that is just another form of tolerance. I've not worked this out, but I think unity is about putting all these things aside and moving together in Christ. I know, but how? I truly believe that the church has been quiet, that the church has been fearful to give a global voice. The world only has a voice when the church is silent. As an illustration only, but I sat there during the prayer time a couple of weeks ago, and whether it was God or me, but I thought, just to give an illustration, wouldn't it be incredible if a year ago when we knew this was happened, the church booked Wembley Stadium, the church booked the Millennium Stadium, the church booked the Celtic Park, and our desire was to see 150 Christians on the 22nd of June come and pray, or even earlier, come and seek God. Lord, we need your direction for our nation, to not try and come up with the answer, but to hear pictures and images and words from God, and that the whole nation would know that the church is praying. Wouldn't it be incredible to have given a mountain of paper to the weekly MP's prayer times on words and prophecies for them to pray over? Do you know 12 MPs meet at least every week for morning prayers? I use it as an illustration. We were too quiet. And it needs a lot of prayer. And I said, Lord, where's my part? Where's our part? And do you know what he said to be worked through? He said, think how tiny a rudder is, and yet how big a ship it can turn. So all these things seem so big, so outside of our control. Do you remember Alex Murray and the starfish? Do you remember? So many on the beach, yet you make a difference to one. But I think, and I am praying and praying, and I want to put action on my prayers, Lord, give us a voice. I think we have it. Lord, give us the courage to use it, to shape our community, to transform our society. Heavenly Father, Lord God, you are sovereign over all. Lord, and I know I give you this morning all my hopes, all my dreams, my future plans, my bank balance, my job, this church, Lord, I give them to you, Lord. And I just say, Lord, let your will be done. Father, because you are Lord of my life, Lord, and I am governed by your steps and your words, not mine. So I lay my life down this morning for you. Lord, I will go where you say, I will say what you tell me to, and I will do whatever is on your heart. In the name of Jesus, amen. I want you now, we're just going to play a song, and I want you to prepare yourself for communion in the light of all that we have spoken about this morning. We're going to listen to this song. It talks about the sovereignty of God, and then Richard will lead us in a time of communion. Bless you.